today we have bright sun. And today we are also reminded that we are still in winter. When I turned on my car this morning, it was 28 degrees. And so that reminds us that we are still in winter, right? But it's nice to have a bright sunny day in winter. It is also a special day because this was designed by God from creation to be a special day. Amen? Is it special for you? Today I'm going to begin to do a series of doctrinal subjects. All right? And today I'm going to talk about our best gifts for Jesus. And what I want to help to clarify in our minds is that as Seventh-day Adventists, we talk a lot about the tithe, but we don't do much with the offering. And the truth is the Bible has a lot more to say about the tithe, the offering, than it has to say about the tithe. I also want you to know and remember, even though we use Malachi 3 continually to emphasize the tithe, really the book of Malachi is primarily about offering, not tithe. There is a lot at stake. You see, the tithe is easy because God made it specific. The offering is more challenging because it is left to our love and our willingness to grow and give. All right. In the announcement, we forgot to emphasize that this afternoon at 3 o'clock, we are going to be at Walwick for the departmental trainings. So please remember, 3 o'clock at Walwick this afternoon. I am going to ask you to bow your heads and pray with me, because at the end of this service, I'm going to also ask for a very special commitment. I don't like surprises, and I don't want to surprise you. So pray about it. I am going to talk about giving to Jesus, but the best gift you and I can give is what? Think it's money? No. God came here in the person of a human in order to save humans. And Jesus said, I am come to seek and to save that which was lost. If we are genuine Christians, then our hearts must palpitate like that of Jesus. So I'm going to challenge everybody here today, and I'm looking for 20 people that will be able to stand and come forward and say, Pastor, I am committed before God that in 2020, I want to see somebody surrendering their lives to Jesus and becoming a member of his remnant church. Pray in your heart that you will be one of those. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your love, your care, and your protection. As we open your word, open our hearts. Holy Spirit, speak to us through your word. Give us wisdom and understanding to comprehend your truth and to live in harmony with your divine will. May we be completely committed to giving like you give, to loving like you love, and to save like you, because we ask these mercies in Jesus' name. Amen. I told you already that this year, New Jersey Conference has the theme of what? Grow. How? Sharing hope, because what? Jesus is coming. Then, how do we do this? All right? Let me see if we are right here. Did I turn this on? Yes, it's on. So, it should be moving something. Okay, there you go. Did I do it or you did it? Okay, good. All right? We grow in our relationship with who? God. Have we reached perfection? No. There is always room to grow in God. Amen? Number two, we also need to grow where? In our what? In our relationship with those that are closest to us. Sometimes we are ready to go to be missionaries all over the world, but we need to begin where? At home. And then we also need to grow in our relationship. And here we go. We also need, did I back that up instead of sending it forward? Okay, let's see. All right. We also need to grow in our relationship in the mission that God gave us. And the mission is to bring people to Jesus Christ. I also want to emphasize the concept of winning one in when? Winning one before 2021. That means win one in 2020. All right? I want to move into the subject that I'm going to talk about today is tithe and offering. Tithe and what? This is not something we love to talk about. We all love money, but we don't want the preacher to talk about that. All right? But I want to make this clear. I am not doing this because I'm interested in your money. I'm doing this because God tells me if I don't do it, I'm in trouble. I'm here to help you into God's kingdom, not to make you feel sweet. Amen? I have a responsibility before God, and Ellen White says very clearly, those of us that still believe in her, that if I as a minister don't tell you what I'm supposed to do, they should fire me. And she speaks specifically to tithe and offering in this respect. And I don't want to be fired. I want to go when God wants me to go. Amen? This is the General Conference's stewardship what? Logo. It's a crown that has the crown of glory, but also the crown of what? All right, let's go ahead. Grow in the biblical principles and practices of what? Tithe and offering. All right, what does the Bible say about the tithe? Very simple. All right, let's read together. A tithe of what? Everything from the land, whether it be what? Grain from the soil or fruit from the trees belong to who? Belong to God. It is what? Holy to the Lord. Next, every tithe of the herd and the flock, every tenth animal that passes under the shepherd's rod will be what? Holy to the Lord. No one may what? I want to emphasize this part. No one may what? Pick out the good from the bad or make any substitution. The tithe is the tithe. And the tithe is what? The tenth. It is holy unto God. I have heard a good Seventh-day Adventist preacher say something like this. You see, I have a memory to forget, but there are some things I remember. He said, any Seventh-day Adventist that believe they are supposed to keep the Sabbath but don't think they have a commitment with the tithe has something wrong with their theology. Because the Sabbath is a reminder to us that God is our what? Creator. And if we don't return the tithe, it means that we are saying you are the creator, but you really don't own anything. This is mine, not yours. The tithe does not demonstrate your love to God. If this belongs to God and he said, this is mine, when we return our tithe, how much have we given to God? Zero, nothing. We are just being honest. The giving begins with the what? With the offering. Now, let's look at this very carefully because this is basically the tithing principle. What are the requirements for God to accept the tithe? We don't have to invent it. There's only one basic principle. It must be the tent. It must be the tent. In other words, if you notice carefully, verse 33, and further on it even says more, verse 33 says, no one may pick out the good from the bad or make a substitution. Following verse says, if you make a substitution because the tide looked too weak and whatnot, then God says you have to give the tide plus the one that you substituted. And by the way, and I have to confess to you that I don't quite understand what that means, but God speaks about that in the same chapter of Leviticus 27, speaks about I forget the exact word from the King James Version now, did not give the tithe on time, then he says that they are supposed to pay what? One-fifth. You know what that is? 20% interest. Not scaring you, just telling you what the Word of God says. All right? But let me say this, because I'm in this for a long time. If you have not been loyal to God, are you listening to me? If you have not been loyal to God, pledge today to be. Amen? You may not be able to pay back all what you owe, but start being faithful today. Amen? And God will provide for you to do what is right. I believe that not returning tithe is a sin. Amen? Say amen, even if you don't believe it. It is true. It is true. All right? There are many sins we commit that we can't recover. We can't do nothing to change it. And God still forgives us. And I don't believe the tithe is an exception. If you can't, if God did not provide the means for what you haven't covered, you do what you can do, and God will take care of the rest. Amen? But start being faithful today. All right? The principle is simply this. Everything belongs to who? Belongs to God. And he says that what? His share is one. Our share is what? Nine. Is that a good business? Can you find another business person that is willing to put all their money in for you to manage and tell you keep nine and only give me back one? You see, God is telling us in every way that he loves us and he wants to share with us. Now, let me use this illustration. I don't know. I'm not from Botswana. I don't even know how to pronounce Sister Kegalali. Maybe a different pronunciation in her language. But she is a retired medical doctor. She used to work for the government of Botswana. She's now retired. She has a farm. And once a year, she gathers, the laborers gather what? The cattle. And the main purpose is what? Is to what? Choose the tithe. How does the Bible say you choose the tithe? All right? The tithe from the cattle, you see? A large group over here, and the tithe over on this side. Is that clear? All right? Now they're going to the goats. But before they get to the goats, this gentleman that is standing here used to be, changed in the last general conference session. By the way, do you know when we're having the next general conference session? This year where? How many of you have been to a general conference session? Let me see your hands. Good. I don't have to ask. Most haven't been. I can only say it this way. I can't speak for you, but I speak for myself. The first general conference session I went to was in 1980. And I was so impressed that I committed myself in my heart, I will not miss a general conference session. And so far, I have not missed one. It is one of the most inspiring meetings you can go to. Amen? All right. Elder Pooney was the general conference stewardship director. It just happened that that day, when Sister Kegalali was going to separate the tide from everything else that was to remain for her, he was visiting in the area, and he went there. So when they got through with the cows, Elder Pooney told us that this little goat ran out. It's a goat kid. It was Sister Kegalali's little, what we call them here, pet. In fact, this little goat kid ran out of her house. When they did the goats, the last group of goats, the last what? All right, here they are, they're dividing the goats, and then suddenly there were 10 left. And the little one here became the number 10. And Elder Pooney, knowing that this was a little favorite pet, asked the question, is she going to give this one or keep this one and change it? And Sister Kegalali simply said, this is God's tide. Are we clear? All right, let's move along. Expressions of what? Work with me. All right? Work with me. The tide. We have tide and we have what? Offerings. All right, let's go. So, number one, what does the tide represent? Who does it belong to? How about the offerings? How about the tithe is what? How about the offering? All right. How about this one? God does specifies what is the tithe. How about the offering? The steward what? Sets the amount. All right. How about the tithe? It's an act of what? And how about the offering? I need to tell you this. As a pastor, I don't like the churches where I pastor to be lifting offering every time you open the door. Everything, pick up an offering. Everything, no. We are not here to get your money. Every cent that comes to the Wayne Church, I want to know that God can bless it and bless the donor. No kind of tricks. In fact, I want to recommend to you to take tithe and offering envelope. What's the name of the envelope? Because you just said a tithe envelope. No, this is for tithe and offering. Take it home with you. When you come here, don't mind what the preacher tells you. You have already made your commitment with God at home. Amen? Amen? And you are bringing your tithe, or God's tithe, and your offering in an act of worship to God. Amen? Amen. That because somebody pressured you psychologically. We live in a commercial world, where people study how to get you buying stuff that you don't want to buy. We don't want that in the church. Because God loves what kind of a giver? A cheerful giver. So your offerings and mine should be an act of what? Act of worship. Act of worship. All right? Let me move forward again. Tithe is what? It's a spiritual response. How about the offering? Also a spiritual response. The tithe is an expression of what? How about the offering? Now, I am loyal. I am faithful. I am doing the correct thing legally to give God what belongs to him. I don't give God, I return to God the tithe. Amen? I give a free will offering. Amen? That offering, and the next day I will hope to be able to go deeper in this because there's a lot more on the offering. That offering is supposed to express our love and our gratitude to God. Amen? People, the tithe is used exclusively for what? People in ministry, and the offering is used for all the other expenses that we have in our church. Is that okay with you? All right, let's move ahead. Let's read what the Bible says about the offering. This is the principle about offering. If any, I'm not hearing you, if any of you presents a gift for a burnt offering to the Lord, either to fulfill a vow or as a free will offering, you must what? You must present a male without defect from the cattle, sheep, or goats in order that it may be what? Hello? What is necessary for God to accept the tithe? It only has to be the tenth. It's a different story with the offering. You don't choose which one you want to give or return to God as the tithe. No, he said it's the tenth one. When it comes to the offering, you are going to choose. But God is telling you that that offering must be what? Perfect. Without any blemish. Verse 20 says, do not bring what? Anything with a defect, because it will what? It will what? It will not be accepted. God does not have to accept whatever we bring. Now we may understand better when Malachi say, you have robbed me in your tithe and in your what? All right, let's move one more step. Why is the offering supposed to be perfect? Any idea why? Because the offering represents Jesus. Jesus is the perfect offering. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He was tempted in all things, yet he never what? He never sinned. The principle behind the offering is that the offering must be perfect. And our offerings are made perfect in Christ through love. Amen? Let's move ahead. Dr. Pooney says that they saw this lovely bull. It was the best animal that was among all the cattle that Sister Kekalage had. And then she walked up to him and she said, this is God's offering. This is what? What are we supposed to give to God? Give of our best to the master. Did God give us any secondary thing? He gave us the best. He gave us the best. And our love for him, as our love for others, should always motivate us to give the best. You know, I like to do family life evangelism. And I usually tell the men that there are some special days. Forgive me if you don't agree with me, but I include also Valentine's Day. Okay? And I have a special, I've been planning what I'm going to give my wife for Valentine's Day this year. All right? Those are days we as men tend to forget. Birthday, anniversary, Christmas. Sorry for those who, I respect your opinion, but for me, Christmas is a celebration. I was born in a Seventh-day Adventist church, and we always celebrated Christmas. And I'm not saying this is good because we have always done it. I'm saying, as a pastor, I stand before you, and when I use any phrase like this, I am not emphasizing what I believe. I'm a Seventh-day Adventist pastor. And I've never read in any official Seventh-day Adventist document anywhere that the church ever rejected Christmas. If you have a problem, but the Seventh-day Adventist church has not rejected Christmas, and I haven't either. Amen? Now, we don't always agree on every point, and Christmas is not a fundamental for your salvation or mine. So we don't fight over thoughts like that. Amen? There is room at the cross for all of us. Now, let's go back to Malachi. What did Malachi say? Listen to the words. Malachi chapter 1. Oh, that one of you would what? Shut the temple doors so that you would not light useless fires on my altar. I am not pleased with you, says the Lord Almighty. Why? I will not accept what? Why? Why? When you bring the injured, what else? The lame or the diseased animal and offer them as sacrifices, should I accept them from your hands? Says the Lord. No, if the tithe was sick, lame, can you change it? No, God says, I don't care whether it's lame, sick, whatever it is, you just bring it. That's the one that is mine. I chose the tenth one. Not you. So, you don't have to worry if it looks good or bad, if it's sick or if it's undying. If you change it for a healthier one, then you have to give both. But when it comes to the offering, you choose. I only give the conditions. The animal must be what? Perfect. So I'm emphasizing the central message of Malachi is not untied, it's an offering. Listen to what verse 14 said. Cursed is the cheat who has an acceptable male in his flock and vows to give it, but then sacrifices what? Blemished animal to the Lord. The problem is defected offerings. The offerings, brothers and sisters, or sisters and brothers, can be more than the tithe. It can be equal to the tithe. It can be less than the tithe. Next time we will have time to go into this. If it's equal to the tithe, we also call it the 10-10 plan or the second tithe. All right? It's when someone faithfully returns the 10% for tithe and gives another 10% for offering, which comes up to 20%. I was privileged to work on an island, and in one of my churches I had two brothers that were, they had good income. And both of them returned their tithe, gave 10% offering to the church, and gave a second 10% offering, but they didn't give that to the church. They gave that for special situations. Illustration. I wanted to do an evangelistic meeting then. I'm always in evangelism, in a town where we had a church, but there was no electricity. And I used to use those carousel projectors. And he's one of the brethren, when I spoke to him about it, he said, "Don't worry, Pastor." He said, "I'm going to get you a portable plant." He bought it. He said, "Don't worry. This is money that I have already separated for offering. But I use it for special situations. Somebody come, they have a need. He has an offering there ready to give them." And this is the idea. If we go back to the principles in the Spirit of Prophecy, tells us, Ellen White speaks about tithe, offering, and gifts. She talks about systematic benevolence. And the systematic benevolence has to do with us being systematic in our what? In our giving. In our giving. Why? Because we don't want to be moved by impulses and emotions. Yes, we are emotional. Yes, God did not just make us with brain. He also made us with a heart. And I never tell my wife, "I love you with all my brain." Even though the brain is determined whether I love or not. But you don't say that. It doesn't sound romantic. "I love you with all my heart." Because there is where the emotion comes out. We need to be wise in our giving. Amen? God is always giving, not because we are always right with him. Amen? He gives based on principle. Remember, God accepts our what? God accepts our what? Our best. Let's read together. This comes from Counsels and Stewardship. It says, "All the favors and blessings we enjoy are a loan from him." Who is that him? God. "We are stewards of his grace and his temporal gifts. The smallest talent and the humblest service may be offered to Jesus as a consecrated gift and with the fragrance of his own merit, he will present it to the Father. If the best we have is presented with a sincere heart, in love to God, from a longing desire to do service to Jesus, the gift will be what? Wholly accepted." You see, God is not looking primarily on the quantity of the gift. He is looking primarily on the quality of the giver. Make sense? Our challenge is to be like Jesus. That's our challenge. What did Jesus do? Listen, I have a whole sermon on this. "For you know the what? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That though he was what? Yet he became what? So that through his poverty we might become rich." I admire some people that are rich and believe it is their prime responsibility to help those. Bill Gates stepped down from being the executive manager of his business to promote, along other rich people, to learn to give of what God gives them. Amen? I could give you stories. I was privileged to be in a stewardship meeting a few years ago. A gentleman came there and gave a presentation from Australia. He grew up in a hippie home in Australia. You said they didn't used to wear clothing. He was probably about 8, 9 years old when he saw a a gentleman riding in the area where they was, and he was dressed, and he was wondering, why is this guy have on clothes and we don't? Anyhow, his father used to go to town to purchase stuff, and went to the same store all the time. And one day, the store owner told him about some meetings that were going to be held there, that some folks were going to talk to them about how the pyramids were built in Egypt, etc., etc. So he decided to go, and they went to those meetings. Of course, those are a series of evangelistic meetings. Sometime after, the same gentleman invited him, talked to him about some people that was going to come and talk to them about healthy eating. And of course, you know the hippies. So he came, and sometime later his father got baptized. He says that his father began to plant olives in Australia when there was no business for olives. And he planted a good amount. And everything turned around. His father came to the point where he decided, you know what? I am going to leave the business to you, and I am going to go and also tell people about how they built pyramids in Egypt. So his father took some money, went to Egypt, took lots of pictures, came back, and started to do evangelistic meeting. His son took over the business. And in order to make it short, I'm going to say it this way. He said he was selling 50 million dollars a year. But he still had a lot of the hippie stuff in him. He said he wanted to buy a beautiful watch, cost $2,000. But his heart couldn't give him to buy the watch. He went in the store over and over, looked at it, and he still couldn't buy it. $2,000, he said, I could even deduct that from my taxes as part of my business. He said, my heart couldn't give me. He prayed over and over. One day he went again, and he asked the lady to show him the watch. He took the watch. He looked at it. He said he was smiling. The lady was happy. She was sure she had a sale. He said, no, I was laughing because the desire to have that watch was gone. Today, he retired early, and he's going around the world telling people how important it is to give to God. He said, I got to the place where I was making so much money that when I think that the Bible says that if we are faithful, you know, he would bless us, I began to grow this complex that if God is blessing me so much, it's because I got to be better than somebody else. He said, no. He stepped out, and today he's sharing God's word. He was going to a meeting, met another person on the airplane, and they were talking, and he found out that that same person was going to the same meeting that he was going to. Both of them were going to share their testimony. That other person had a business along with his brother. They made these lifters, big ones, what do you call them? Big cranes. So he asked him, how big a crane? How many tons? He said, no, we don't measure ours in tons. He said, I just want you to know this. Normally when somebody buys a crane from us, in order to be able to get it to them, it costs us $1 million just for transportation. But he said this. The guy told him that they began to return more and more to God through his church. And they finally came to the conclusion. This is what he said. We were making $250 million profit a year. How many? $250 million a year. And we decided this is not fair. And so we decided that we are going to give God 100%. And we are going to live on a salary like everybody else in the company. So he said, yeah, I said, why are you doing this? Why did you do this? He said, it's very simple. Do you believe we are in a warfare? Seventh-day Adventists, do you believe we are in a warfare? In the great controversy. And so he said, we thought about it. It is not fair for the soldiers to be living at a different level than we. What is he saying? He said, those that are committed to God in ministry, we want to have a salary more like theirs than the one we have. Amen? There are stories and stories. The editor of the Seventh-day Adventist Ministry magazine, I met him a few years ago. He was a businessman in Romania. And he got an offer. He was making somewhere around, exporting about $50 million a year. That's a lot of money. Several years ago, especially for a communist satellite, to Germany. And then he got a contract to, they offered him a contract to do three times the amount. The same time he said, his wife and I prayed, and he said that he asked the Lord to lead them. I think if I was in that business, I would automatically think that the Lord is blessing me and this is something to grab. And at that moment, the conference offered him a job to be a pastor to make $300 a month. And they ended up accepting the job. $300 a month. He said he sold his car, bought a little junky car like pastors do. He was working in a city, and there was a young man there that had problem both in speech and in mobility. But he was always on the street. He planned to do a large evangelistic meeting in the city. And just before, one day, his car crashed in the young man. They rushed him to the hospital. He went to the hospital and was praying. The young man died. But he was still praying. The doctors, you know, in a non-Christian country, the doctors were, hey, he is already dead. Go home. So he went home, but he didn't go to bed. He and his wife prayed all night. Next morning, he went back to the hospital. To the amazement of everyone, the young man was not only alive, but now he was speaking perfectly and walking perfectly. God is still God. God still will take care of you. Amen? Be faithful to God in every way possible. Now I need to finish. And so I want to go back to my original slide. Emphasizing the need for us to what? Grow in our relationship with God. To grow in our relationship with others. And now especially emphasizing that we need to bring somebody to who? To Jesus Christ. Win one before 2021. Are you ready to go with me? I am looking, and God is looking now, for 20 members of the Wayne Church. How many? 20. We have a card. The deacons have it. I don't want them to bring the card to you. If you would like to say to God, I want to respond to your invitation to join me in seeking and saving the lost. And you would like to decide today whether you are a child, a teenager, an adult, or you are in your golden age like I am. I want to invite you to come forward. I will give you this card. You will write five names of individuals. They could be your family member, they could be neighbors, they could be coworkers, individuals you want to work with from now until they make that commitment. At least one out of those five, God will give you the joy of seeing them joining His remnant church in 2020. Who will be the first person to come forward? I don't want you to do this out of emotion. I want you to do this because, all right, there is a card for each one. Come stand up here. Sister Marie will help you if you don't have a pen. All right? There are two sides of the card you need to fill. All right? And afterwards, the card will be cut. Don't go back to your seat. Stay up here with me. And if you take it back, you need to come back because you have to give me a half of this card today. All right? Don't go back. Come. Stay up here with me. All right? If you need something to write with, then we will lend you a pen. You want something to put your okay? You can get a hymnal, use it. Marie, anybody need a pen? We'll help them. All right? Let me tell you what the card says. The card says, the day is today. The day is when? Today. There is no biblical authorization for us to put off salvation until tomorrow. The day is today. Jesus said, go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how He has mercy on you. This is what we call testify. We believe in Bible studies. Bible study is important, but their testimony is powerful. Amen? Then you will write your name and the rest of information down here. And then on the other side speaks about the method of Jesus. Jesus, according to Ellen White in this famous say, he approached people looking for their good. Then, she said, he would minister to their needs. And then, when he gained their confidence, he would say, come on what? Come and follow me. All right? Fill your card. I want the section with your name. The other section will remain with you. The deacons are ready to cut your card for you. And what we're going to do is this. Once you give me the part of the card that belongs to me, and the part that belongs to me is the part that has your name and your information, we will give you today. When? We'll give you today a white baptismal robe. And that robe you will keep for the person that you lead to Jesus Christ. They will be baptized in that robe. Can you say amen? Who else want to join? Come quickly with your cards. First 20. I brought 20 cards. First 20. First come, first serve. All right, don't go. Don't go until you get your robe. And when you get your robe, I want you to stay because I want to have a special consecration prayer with you. All right? Need help, Marie? Please, come. Fill the card. My brother deacons, make sure that the card is filled. Don't go. Don't go. Stay up here. We're going to have a special consecration prayer for you. God will lead you to the right people and help you to lead them to Jesus. While we are at this, I also want to emphasize that we are promoting. Are you listening to me? This is for individuals. The first call is for anybody, regardless of your age. But we are promoting a special mission trip, month of July or August, for individuals between the ages of 18 and 35 years old. The only exception to that is if a couple is going and one is in the age and the other is not. Otherwise, from that, 18 to 35. Our church is committed and has committed a certain amount of finance. I can say this, in the budget that we made as pastors, we asked the church for more money to help you to go on this mission trip than we have asked for our own pastoral ministry. We want to help you. We want you to know that God called you primarily to lead people to Him, here, there, or anywhere. Amen? See me. All right, how many did we give out? How many? Still have more? Nobody else want to join? All right. We're looking for 20. How many did we give out? Are you among us, Edwin? Come. I want you to stand up here. We're going to pray. Anybody else that gave us your name and you're not here? All right, good. That's looking better. I still haven't seen 20, but we are grateful for those that are here. I am always reminded of the words of Jonathan. God can give the victory with what? Few or with many. I want to be among the few that are faithful. Amen? All right, this looks much better. All right, if any of you that were helping others would like to join the group, you're also welcome. Can we ask the church to stand with us? Anybody, somebody else is coming with us for this special consecration prayer. All right? All right? Give her. All right? Take care of that. Robe, keep it white and clean until you have somebody that will go into the water with it. Amen? Let's pray. Almighty God, what a powerful God you are. What a merciful God you are. You give to us all good gifts. And you have also invited us to join you in the most important mission of the universe right now, to seek and to save that which is lost. Because the heavenly principle is, there is more joy in heaven over one sinner that repents more than all the saints that are already there. Thank you for each individual that came forward with this commitment to yield their lives to you and to ask you to use them this year to lead, if it's even one soul, to your kingdom. Bless them. Give them wisdom. Give them skills. And may they enjoy the celestial joy of seeing someone sealing their lives with Christ for life eternal. Bless the rest of our church here in Wayne. Lord, motivate us to put first things first. May you be first, and may your mission be, as Jeremiah said, that like fire in your bone, in our bones, that we cannot be at ease until we do what you ask us to do. Bless us and keep us now. And prepare us as we endeavor to prepare others to meet you in your kingdom. God, we ask these mercies in Jesus' name. Amen. Closing song, give of your best to the master. All right?